welcome to the University of Coruscant. As part of your enrollment here, you have access to the attached HoloNet recording. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on galactic history. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on bounty hunter weaponry. If you have any questions about this lecture or wish to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
Thank you again from the bottom of my extremely humble heart. I do love hearing that applause. I don't anticipate having to cut class short today, but apparently I have some sort of meeting with a number of human resource droids. They said it had to do with parking, which I assume is because some of you replaced Dean LaBlasta's speeder parking spot sign with one that said Ravencourt, future Dean, and then you erased the lines around it, making the spot extra large. I thought it might have been a gesture from the Dean herself, but apparently I don't know Rodian customs as well as I thought I did, because she didn't seem to have sanctioned that. I'm only guessing because when I parked there, she seemed somewhat upset. Also, I think her speeder might have been inadvertently towed. Nonetheless, I guess we'll find out what those HR droids really want to talk about after class. So, you are tired of the galactic rat race. You've been slaving away at your desk, putting in extra hours for some Gamorrean middle manager who doesn't appreciate you. And last week, they gave the Wookiee down the hall a promotion instead of you. Everyone knows that you deserve that promotion, and Rookroll doesn't even know how to turn the capitals off on her holopad. That's it. You quit. But how are you going to pay the rent on your Coruscant flat now? How about the exciting world of bounty hunting? See the galaxy, meet interesting people, and then put them in a bag and take them to a hut where you'll also meet interesting people. And those ones will give you a fat stack of credits for your work, tax-free. All it takes is a determined spirit, a loose moral compass, and a whole lot of cool weaponry. Today, we are going to introduce you to some of those staple weapons for bounty hunting. Now, I think it goes without saying that there isn't a specific set of gear that is required for this kind of work. This isn't like outfitting a legion of stormtroopers. Each bounty hunter has to find what works for them, and the good ones tailor their gear specifically to their strengths and what they hope to accomplish. Many would accept the bounty and then go out and actually get the gear and not the other way around. But there are some common threads with this type of equipment that you need in order to engage in this kind of lifestyle. Also, and this is very important for a class on weaponry, there is a difference between a bounty hunter and an assassin. Frankly, I think it'd be easier to just be an assassin. If I had two jobs, one of them was to kill a target and then just go home, and the other one is to actually bring that target back to the bounty provider, well, I would rather do the first one. What if it's a hut you're hunting? Have you ever tried to move a hut? This doesn't mean that the bounties can't be capture or kill. I'm just saying that if you're an assassin, capturing really isn't in your job description, which makes bounty hunters a different breed than assassins. And, therefore, you need different weaponry. We are going to approach this topic by picking some pieces off the most famous bounty hunter in history. The gold standard was a human named Boba Fett. He lived during the rise and fall of the Galactic Empire. Now, don't you worry your pretty little brain tails. We are for sure going to revisit Mr. Fett in detail later. But for the purposes of this class, he was very famous, very feared, and had very good gear. His approach was a multi-tool one. His gear was diverse and ready for lots of unpredictable situations. Here's the example. The wrist gauntlet. Boba Fett carried the equivalent of a toolbox on each forearm. It didn't get in the way of his hands and provided him a lot of utility in the field. First up is the ZX Miniature Flamethrower. Boba, like his father Jango Fett, liked to keep this on his left wrist gauntlet. Jango Fett, also by the way, was the original source for all of the clone troopers in the late Galactic Republic era, but that is an entirely different class. Just know that Boba inherited some of his gear choices from his father, who was also a bounty hunter. The ZX Miniature Flamethrower is an excellent close combat game changer. This little dandy was made by the Zerka Corporation. It was hooked by cords through the gauntlet directly to a Mitronomen Z6 jetpack, which provided it with enough fuel to run for 3 straight minutes. I'm not entirely sure why anybody would need to operate a flamethrower on blast for 3 minutes, but hey, options, right? If I'm in a tough spot, I would want a flamethrower. Maybe not the most elegant of weapons, but certainly a pass to get out of wherever you are. In addition to that, right below the flamethrower, we are going to add a DUR-24 wrist laser from our old friends at Blast Tech Industries. This miniaturized laser had the power of your average Blast Tech blaster rifle, but was extremely small. It didn't have a lot of rounds, but it was unexpected when it fired, and being unpredictable is a major advantage for a bounty hunter. So, that's 2 of the 3 items on the left. The third is a Kelvaric Consolidated Arms MM9 Mini Concussion Rocket. Pretty handy, if you'll pardon the pun. This was set slightly above the forearms to avoid shooting a rocket into the back of your hands. Of course, you could change the payload to be a few different options, including anti-personnel rockets, stun rockets, or even homing missiles. I would go on, but I mean, what can I say? It's a rocket on your wrist. But what if you're not interested in collecting charred corpses? What if you actually need to capture your target alive in order to get paid? Well, Mr. Fett carried a fibercord whip in his right gauntlet. Fibercord is a sort of rope made of strong, durable material such as flexisteel, which takes quite a lot to cut it, but bends really, really well. This was also called a monolink filament or a smart rope. It was called a smart rope for its natural propensity to wrap around a target once it meets resistance. At the end, you'd usually find a grappling hook, which worked perfectly with that wrapping technique. So, when you're trying to subdue a bounty, wrapping them up in an extremely strong cord is a great start, all secretly hidden inside your right wrist gauntlet. On old righty, we're also going to add a couple vibroblades. Anytime I hear vibroblades, I think here is a guy that means business, but doesn't have the moral restrictions of a Jedi. Vibro weaponry is particularly nasty. It's basically a regular sword or knife fitted with a vibration generator in the hilt, making the blade vibrate incredibly fast and subtly. The practical effect was that even the slightest cut turned into a gaping wound. Plus, they could be manufactured with all sorts of material, including cortosis weave, which we know from past episodes is a serious problem for lightsabers. The downside is that if the blade takes a good electrical shock, it tends to explode at the generator, which, incidentally, is also where you usually have your hand. Or should I say, where you had your hand. Anyway, back to our bounty hunter. Putting a few extendable vibroblades in your right gauntlet, that can never be bad. And finally, on our right gauntlet, we have another multi-tool. The Prax Arms Velocity 7 Dart Launcher. Now, this item was a straight pass down from Boba's father, Jango Fett. Allegedly, Jango loved this tool for assassination purposes, but the darts themselves could be carrying almost anything. The Velocity 7 is actually a fairly large dart shooter, so getting it inside the gauntlet is pretty impressive engineering. It was fired with a compressed gas, which was pinpoint accurate within 10 meters. You could hit a target about 100 meters away, but only if you were really lucky. As far as the toxin those darts were carrying, well, imagination is really your only limit. There's even tales of a microscopic tracker hidden inside the serums being loaded into the darts. I guess I've never really understood that one, though. Because if you're going to hit a bounty with the dart, well, then you might as well either knock them out or kill them with it, right? And if I'm the bounty, well, I would be pretty suspicious after pulling a dart out of my neck. But hey, options, right? So, we've gone down the list and we've checked off flamethrower, dart launcher, fiber cord whip, vibroblades, and wrist laser. And this is just on his forearms. Boba Fett was truly a walking toolbox, and this was simply his standard outfitting. He was well known for picking up specialty gear. Not that being the galaxy's best bounty hunter isn't a good-paying gig, but a fun fact about Fett was that he was known to play the trade market during his hunts. If he thought he might shift the economy of a particular area that he was about to do work in, well, he would pick up real estate or trade shares of local companies. How amazing is that? Not only would he be going around capturing and killing targets, he'd also be trading on the investments that he knew would change because of the work he was doing. I love that so much. Gear is expensive, and that is just absolutely genius. Finally, I cannot end class without talking about the jetpack. Mitrinomen's Z6 jetpack was a Mandalorian favorite. But don't get hung up too much about Mandalorians, because that's a pretty complicated subject. Just know that they loved jetpacks, and this one was the top of the line. It is capable of sustained flight up to a height of 70 meters and also usable for quick ascension. You had to be careful with it, though, because it was well known to go off after sustaining a blow. And you don't want your jetpack to go off uncontrolled while you are wearing it, because you are a passenger at that point. The coolest thing about the Z6 is that it was easily adapted to hold a rocket, but honestly, I just don't have the energy to talk about rockets anymore. Anti-personnel, stun, etc., etc., etc. It shot a big rocket out of the top. Flying a jetpack that shoots a rocket, spectacular enough that it really stands on its own without me having to elaborate on different kinds of rockets, right? And honestly, that's where we're going to end. Fett also carried a carbine rifle, but we'll include that in our blaster rifle conversation. And remember, these are just the stock items that he had on him. He was famous for adding and subtracting gear all the time. Bounty Hunter isn't just a job, it is a passion. Okay, questions from the class. Who is going to step up to the microphone droids today?
My turn? Me? Okay.
Professor.
Oh my God, step back from the microphone.
Professor, Cran Wolitex here. I've heard about Boba Fett's helmet, but you didn't mention that. What was it particularly special?
Of course it was, Mr. Wolitex. This piece of equipment was less unique to Fett, though, and more of stock Mandalorian gear, believe it or not. Mandalorian helmets were described as T-shaped because of the design of the macro-binocular viewplate. They had a rangefinder on the right side that could be pulled down over the viewplate to enhance the imagery. Naturally, it had a tactical readout and a comm link built into it. More or less as much information as you could possibly put in front of your eyes while still seeing the target. In my opinion, the smarter and more prepared the bounty hunter, the better the bounty hunter, right? This helmet added a ton to exactly that. Well, that is it for today. Homework for next class is to build your own wrist gauntlet and put whatever you want in there. For inspiration, I made my own custom-built miniature flamethrower into this podium. Check this out.
This concludes your selected lecture from the University of Coruscant. For all questions or to contact us, please visit theuniversityofcoruscant.com.